بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The deity of the awesome is a famous Jew. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come to Medina Munawwara. Many people found his coming to be a great blessing, a thing to open their eyes, to see things in perspective, to see a better future. But then there were those people who saw that their dreams had all crashed. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had heard that Abdullah ibn Ubay had not taken well. So he went to pay him a visit. They were mounted on some animal, whatever it was, camel or whatever it was. And you're going to be riding on a camel or on a mount, there's going to be some dust. Even a car, if you're driving on a dirt road, then there's going to be some dust. So, he didn't take too well to this. That you are creating a dust in the whole road here. So, one Sahabi, perhaps was Abdullah bin Rawaha or something, he says, the smell of the animal of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is better than you. The smell that comes from the animal is better than your smell. So if you didn't like it, some little bit of a skirmish, and the Bism quieted them down, calmed them down. He went and met Hazrat Saad ibn Ubada thereafter. Abdullah ibn Ubay had not yet accepted Islam, although Islam was also a hypocritical imam, but even that he had not accepted. Now after that he met Sa'd ibn Ubadah. And he related to him this what happened. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah is also amongst the leaders of the people of Medina Munawwara, and he knows what's going on. So he says to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, don't pay attention to this man. Because in the هذا البحر قد أجمعوا أن يتوجوا. When they talk of Bahar or Ma, they talk about this place. The town is called a Bahar sometimes it's called a Ma. Why? Because in the Arab lands, water is a scarcity. So if at that spot water is found a little bit in abundance, then they come and settle there. Because that's a lifeline. Water is life. There's water in abundance, so they go and settle there. So therefore they call it Inna Hadhal Ma or Ya Ahlul Ma. And Bahar, perhaps when there is an increased amount of water, we call it Bahar. They all agreed that they come and they all agreed that they will crown him Ayyutawiju, Tawiju from Taj. So they will crown him. Right? So this was the dream that he had, that people will be crowning him, he'll be the undisputed leader, and the respect that he will have, the authority that he will have, the dignity, and all that. Whatever comes with that position. So everybody agreed that he will be the crowned king here. But when Allah Ta'ala had blessed you and granted you this truth, he came with this truth. All his dreams had all crashed. He'd been seeing, you know, this would happen, I'll have so much of authority and power and might and glory. So the dream that he had, all the dreams of his all crashed. So when his dreams crashed, so his envy came out, no? His jealousy. There's a jealousy, this is where it starts off. I'm aspiring for something, and perhaps you got it. So, it happens now, nowadays, in the past also, you are interested in one girl, right? And then he gets the girl. You interested, and there was some talk and dialogue going on, but it didn't work out for you, it worked out for him. So when it didn't work out for you, and worked out for the next person, you get very bad, you get very, very much hurt. So when you get hurt now, the jealousy will come out. So the jealousy can come out in different ways, it doesn't have to come out in one single way. Now, nowadays what happens is, if you are involved, you know, some talk, whatever else, and then it didn't work out for you, it worked for the next person, so you will do multiple things. One thing you will do, you will try and stop it. The second thing you will do, if it's not working out still, right, and the busy with the marriage preparations, or they already married, you know, either they married or they busy with the marriage preparations. So what they will do now, so he will have some things preserved on his site. So these were the conversations that we had. And these are photos, you know. And in this posture they have taken the photos. So now he will get those photos and all those articles where they had been talking some things that were not appropriate, very intimate things they were talking about. So he will get them all posted all over. This is what people have been doing. So this envy doesn't have to come out in one and the same way. It come out in different ways. In the dream that Yusuf alayhi salam had, again Yaqub alayhi salam had to warn his son Yusuf alayhi salam, لا تقصص رؤياك. Don't relate it. Because the children or your brethren and your siblings, they will work against you. They'll be envious. They're coming from a home of Nubuwwat, and when they hear this type of a dream, they know that this thing indicates that you will be a leader, and we all will be under you then. Right? هذا عشر كوكب والشمس والقمر رأيتم لي ساجدين. I saw them, so they'll all be under you. So they don't know what it means. And now, they will feel to themselves, you know, this man, they will steal the whole show. We, نحن عصبة, we are strong, bodied people, and he's going to be above us. So put him away. اقتلوه. So this jealousy comes out. It comes out in different ways, not one single way. Sometimes it is a contemporary, and normally the jealousy comes out more on the contemporaries. Contemporaries are people in the same profession, same work. So the jealousy comes out there. Right? So if you've been in madrasa, school, or university around the same time, right? Same class, and then one person just excelled. And Alim Lama, he's coming on the radios, he's being invited to different programs where Jalsas are also being invited. Or, for example, if it's a professional person, they're talking about him, you know, you have a heart problem, then go to this person. Sugar problem, then go to this person here. Now, the others that we are studying with him, when they see this person, they hear about his name, and they hear him being praised, then they find it difficult to swallow. Because the schooling are at the same time, the ages are the same, and people are showing respect and not showing us. So they feel hurt about it. So then they make up stories sometimes to defame that person. We know when we are studying together. He was an outstanding student. Sun would make him stand out. Outstanding student. So somehow they give him, run him down. Why? You can't see it. You can't see it. So somehow they push the person down. So this jealousy is a very difficult, a very, very hard one. What happened to Shaitan also was the same jealousy. I'm here in your service for thousands of years. He just came up now, and now he's close to the bottom. So the jealousy had the better way. He saw, now I'm here in the service, making a service, sajdas and all that, for thousands of years. Man just came up, he just escalated on short. How did it happen? In the Jews, the same thing happened. حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. So the jealousy got the better over them. The truth was clear. Truth is absolutely clear. There was nothing ambiguous. Truth is clear. And then what happened? حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. The jealousy had the better over them. So they have to make stories now. Two people come to Medina Munawwara, two Jews, and they seem to be ulama, right? So they are discussing, we'll go and meet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the other one is saying, don't say Nabi. Just say, go and meet that person, don't say Nabi. Because if you're going to say Nabi, kanat lahu a'yunun, he'll have 10 eyes. He'll be bloated now. Be bloated because now you also recognize him to be a Nabi. So anyway, they saw that this was Medina, this was the thing that was predicted, and somehow they got to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they asked about tis'a ayat. لَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ فَاسْأَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلٍ. So Rasulullah showed them what were the tis'a ayat, 9 signs. Allah tushriku billahi shay'an wa bil walidayni ihsana. And ayyukum al yahud, and all you yahud, iyyakum wa yawm as-sabt, and be careful about the Sabbath. So when they heard this, they were too astonished. They kissed his hands, his feet, and all that. So now you are the person that been predicted. So what stops you? Right, the respect, all right, it's good that you showed respect. But then what stops you to come into Islam? Now they have to make a story. They said, no, Dawud al-Islam had made dua that the Nubuwwat must remain in his family. Right? Now, if this Nubuwwat is going to shift from Dawud al-Islam to another family, Ismail al-Islam, then أَنَّ الْيَهُودَ يَقْتُلُونَ they'll kill us. So they have to make up a story. Because around that time, it would seem that Abdullah bin Salam itself had accepted Islam, but nothing happened to them. So they had to make up a story. See this prejudice, this jealousy, prejudice. So they couldn't take it. All the years from Yaqub al-Islam to now, the Nubuwwat of Qudas, we had the control. جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا. اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا. See how beautifully the Quran Sharif addresses the Bani Israel. First, it's called Musa li qawmi, ya qawmi iskunu, his own people. And the Quran speak about them as Bani Israel, children of Israel, that is Yaqub al-Islam. So with respect, talking to them, although they in kufr, shirk, and in jealousy, etc., but when we need to talk to them, we talk to them with respect. We have not talked to them defaming them in a derogatory manner, running them down. We will not do that. So now, they are wrong. They are adamant. They are proud. But that doesn't stop us. It doesn't stop us from us not speaking to them in a cultured, a refined, in a nice manner. See? Ya Bani Israel, iskunu. So many times Allah says, Ya Bani Israel. So they are steeped in wrong, haram. You can't doubt that they are not in haram. But when we speak to them, we speak to them in a refined manner. We speak to them with respect. When we speak to them, we'll speak to them with consideration. Right? So, on the side of the listener, he feels, this person doesn't have a grudge for me. He's speaking to me, but he's speaking to me in a very civil and a cultured manner. Not in an abusive and undignified manner. A dignified, cultured, respectable manner. So now, he feels, alright, let's listen to it. When he's speaking so cultured, he's speaking in a civil manner, speaking with so much of respect, then let's listen to him. So this is the style of the Quran Sharif. When he talks in the style of the Anbiya alayhi salam, he's speaking with a lot of respect, a lot of kindness, a lot of understanding. Although sometimes the next person is speaking in a very rude and an aggressive, impolite manner, but he will not stop the Nabi from carrying on his kindness. See how the Nabi will speak. Inna lanaraka fi dhalalin mubin. So he'll only say, Laysa bi dhalalatun, walakinni rasulun min rabbil alamin. He will not lose himself. Say, hey, what are you talking about? Mad. But what's wrong with you? He didn't say, Laysa bi dhalalatun, walakinni rasulun min rabbil alamin. Then comes to Hud alayhi salam, Inna lanaraka fi safaha. Mad person, real mad. So, Hud al-Islam is not retorting in the same tone. Laysa bi safaha, walakinni rasulun min rabbil alamin. So he's coming to the tone, he's coming to the topic straight away. But the other good you look in this, that, see, the Nabi, for example, he retorted in the same tone, then he would have been lost in this labeling, in this aggression, this impolite, he would have been lost in that. And he wouldn't have accomplished his mission. So he just brushed this aside nicely, and he came to the topic. Now let's talk about business now. So he didn't lose the business. Business is the mission. Mission is what Allah Pak has commissioned. So now, let us not move on to something else. Let's come to this. But now, how politely, how beautifully, and how accurately the Nabi does it. See, that's what you need to see. That's what happens now. When we in some work, I'm going to turn you away. So, easy ways to character assassinate. Assassinate your character. Once I've assassinated your character, you're lost. You lost, your mind is gone. So when your mind is gone, then you forgot the work that you came to complete here. See how they do it. The character assassinate you. When the character assassinate you, then you are moved away. So now, Musa alayhi salam, look at Musa alayhi salam. He also says, Inni Rasul Rabbil Alamin.
Now Fir'aun's response, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِيْنَا وَلِيدَا وَلَبِثْتَ فِيْنَا مِنْ أُمُورِكَ سِنِينَ فَعَلْتَ فَعَلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Four times he's assassinated. Four times he's assassinated. First, he's reminding him of the favors. أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِيْنَا وَلِيدًا. We brought you up. Today you're boasting, you know, that you told me so much. But who brought you up as a child? We brought you up. So, the character assassinate in different ways. Sometimes by impressing upon your favors. I did this to you. You were nowhere, man. We started you off. You were an abandoned child. And we gave you the support. Today you come and work against us. See, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِيْنَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِيْنَا سِنِينَ. And we kept you for years. Years you stayed with us. We gave you the royal treatment. Royal treatment, the comfort, the luxuries that is in the royal palace. You enjoyed all that. أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِيْنَا وَلِيدًا وَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلَتَكَ الَّذِي فَعَلْتَ. And then, you know what a crime you committed? Where that Coptic was. You know the crime that you committed, you know that. أَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And in our Urdu you say, you are total namak haram. Right off. So four times he assassinated. Now, in the face of all this insult, how does Musa Islam conduct himself? See, he's come for a business. He is sent by Rabbul Alamin. So he can't get lost with all these things. So how he talks, he says, Musa Islam says that, فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَوْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِّينَ. I did what I had done. I did it in error. So, Musa al-Islam doesn't feel ashamed to acknowledge the mistake. Now, that already shows and endorses the man. When he has made a mistake, he is confessing the mistake. He's not playing around. If he was not a man of Allah Ta'ala, he would have confessed. But because he's a man of Allah Ta'ala, he's commissioned by Allah Ta'ala, so he has to be absolutely true. He can't hide it. فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَوْا أَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِ. He says, no, I've done it. But I've done it in error. I've done it in error. And then, فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. See, your question will be alright. So, why didn't you allow the cause of justice to take its cause? Why didn't you allow justice to take its cause? So he says, I was afraid of your oppression. Lamma khiftukum. Because you wouldn't have read, I was afraid of your judgment. Let us not call it oppression, your judgment. Because you're not just looking at it from this perspective that I went to rescue someone. I went to rescue someone and in the process the man died. So the intent was not to kill. The intent was to rescue, to look after the person. And that's the work of a Nabi. When he sees some wrong, some malpractice, he will try and correct it. I can see the person is being ill-treated, is being hit down. So the Nabi can't stand. The Nabi will have to go and rescue it. That's his nature. Right. But I was afraid that you will judge this from one perspective. You will not look at it holistically. Then I escaped. I moved away. فَرَوْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. Then فَوَهَبَنِي رَبِّي حُكْمًا وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And then so he acknowledges. He doesn't go in circles. See, a politician, he goes in circles. Not actually you're mistaken, and you don't know the full story, that's the story of a politician. Right? But a Nabi is totally different from Allah Ta'ala. He's not concerned. How are you going to think about him? He's not worried. He must present the truth with dignity, with respect, and with accuracy. He must accurately convey the message of Allah Ta'ala. His integrity is secondary. The mission of Allah Ta'ala, that's primary, that's prime. This is what I've been assigned with, and I need to go and see that this is accomplished. Everything else will take its course. So see how the Rabbi speaks. فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَا وَأَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِلِينَ فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. Then, فَوَهَبَ لِي رَبِّي حُكْمًا وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala had blessed me with wisdom. Right. Now you may ask, alright, this was my track record, right? So understand the track record and understand the person that is speaking to you now. This is a track record, and understand his portfolio as he stands by his portfolio. So what is his portfolio? He's a Rasul blessed with understanding and wisdom. So, if you're going to look at this selectively, then you're going to be looking at something incorrectly. If you just look at it selectively, only from one perspective you look at it, you don't look at the whole story. The whole story, you're not looking at it. You look at it from just one perspective, and that's, you need to understand what you're doing. And then he says, the reason that you're going to be looking at, you're looking at it selectively. وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي. See your behavior. That shows that you're not going to be looking at things properly in true perspective. Right? So he's saying what he's saying, but a man of understanding knows what Musa is saying. That you're not looking at things fairly in perspective, in retrospect, you're not looking at it. And the proof for it is, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. So this favor, you are expressing this favor, why? You are expressing this favor, you are expressing as a result of you enslaving the Bani Israel. See, if you were enslaved, then I wouldn't have been like this. You enslaved them, start butchering them, killing them. So my mother had to throw me into the ocean, and the ocean brought me to your doorstep, right? But that's a result of your oppression. تِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. It's a result of your oppression, but I landed your doorstep. And you have not done this. So, and now Musa is talking, but he's talking so politely, right? With such dignity and so much of nobility. Can you see the nobility, the dignity? He would have said, yes, you butchered thousands of the Bani Israel. And you had enslaved Abbat the Bani Israel. You enslaved them. Right? You were merciless towards them. He would have said all these things here. But in just one half a sentence, he gave it, he says the whole thing. وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ الْعَبَّدْتَ بَنِي. So, see the Pharaoh's talk compared to a Nabi's talk. Nabi, how he talks and how Pharaoh speaks. So, Pharaoh's talk is full of malicious. He's got an agenda. He's trying to impress about his favors, what he has done. And he's talking with prejudice. It's one-sided. Right? He's not talking holistically. And Musa Islam talks holistic, gave the true story. He's not being prejudiced. He's not trying to taunt the person, but he's giving it as it were. And now, because it's in the presence of the parliament, so Pharaoh can't hide. So now he has to come to the table. He has to come. Then he says, "Wama Rabbul Alam." But you see this, Musa Islam talk in one sentence. How much for us to learn? That a da'i, how he was present. How must he talk? I am the man of Allah Ta'ala. So I must see to it that his work is accomplished. You're going to run me down, and you're going to try to smash my dignity and reputation, be it as it may, but that will not stop me from accomplishing this mission. And I have to do it with respect, with nobility. Because of the one that has sent me down, he is the one that sent me with this mission. So I need to understand that as I do this. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, he's a start, you know. So in India, you have this caste system, whether in the Hindus, and as a result of the Hindus having it, that floated through the Muslims as well. So one Hafiz Sahib, so he was sent to teach the children by his ustad. Ustad said, well, teach the children there in Kandla. Now Kandla is more Ilyas Sahib of his hometown. So he teach them. So he started teaching the masjid or some place adjacent to the masjid. And people now, they didn't like it because he's a low caste and he's performing the namaz and he's teaching here. So now look at his stance. So he said, you see, if you will prevent me from teaching in the masjid or in the adjacent room, then that will not stop me from teaching. I will go outside under a tree or something, I will teach. Because, see, the person that sent me, I can't defy his orders. You chase me, or that's in its place that you chase me, because of my caste, I'm not your equal, so you chase me out. I don't know anymore. But he is so important to me that I can't leave the place just because of your rude treatment. You treat me rude, it's alright. But that's in his place. But because of the treatment, I can't leave this. I must do it. You give me the place, very good. Don't give me the place, I will go outside and teach. See how the Nabi, or how an Alim should think. He's not worried now. Are the people saying the respect? Are they recognizing him? He didn't go back to his ustad, they threw me out of the street. Biggest story, he said, alright, my mission was to go and teach. If it's in the madrasa, in the masjid, very good. But if it can't be, then outside, I'll do it outside. I don't need to go and complain. I came with a mission, let me go and complete the mission. Now this was the nature of the ustad of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib. See, your personality, your reputation, and the other thing is the work. So how you look at things. See, Musa alayhi salam, reputation, personality, and work. So they separate both the issues. I came for a work, I must do this. You respect me or don't respect me, it's a secondary thing, but I need to see that I accomplish this. See, every Nabi, how he talks, the frame of mind of a Nabi, how he works, how he thinks, how he understands. So now, we're talking of this Anbiya and the reason for the enmity, the reason for the jealousy. Right? We are in the same business, we started off the same, and you are just overtaking me now. You know? You overtake me, I can't see this. So that's where that whole envy starts off. We are both the same. And then you just sprang up from that. So I can't see that. And I can't see that I have to come back against you. Somehow I must come back. They say, one man had gone abroad for a living, right? The wife is alone now. Things are quite tight. So they heard of one great awliya coming there. To the town. So she said, alright, I must also ask for dua. So the townspeople asked for dua, she also requested for dua. She here explain the Buzurg what's her plight, and she requested for dua. So the Buzurg made dua, and then he made it known to her that, you see, what you're asking for, you will get that. But what you ask for, you will get one, and the whole town will get twice. If you ask for one Mercedes, you will get one, and the town will get two. You ask for one palace, you will get one, but the whole town will get two. So whatever you're going to be asking for, you will get one, and the whole town will get two. You ask for one son, the whole town will get two, and you get one. Now you can imagine, when the husband came back after about 2 years or 3 years, earned some money, so the whole, the dynamics of the town changed. Because he's got a palace, got 10 palaces. What was the state of the town then, and what it is now, so it's a whole new game. Like. So the husband saw this, all this. So what happened? So this is what happened. The Buzurg came here, and I asked him for dua, because of the constraints that I was going through, I asked for dua. So that's the promise that he made, that whatever you ask for, you will get, but the whole town will get twice as what you got, twice as much as you what you got. So is that the case, all right? Allah Ta'ala burst my one eye. So the whole town became blind, total blind. Right? Allah Ta'ala, my one hand, make it lame. They can't work now. See the jealousy, the pride and the jealousy, what it does to the person. You know? The dua was now, whatever you ask for, you'll get one, but the whole town will get twice as what you got. So I can't see you, I can't see you moving. You do your work, he will do his work, Allah Pak will provide for you, Allah Pak will provide for him. So from the beginning of time, this jealousy story, that it's in the human blood. You can't wipe it out. Adam alayhi salam got two children. Same the story there again. Iblis is about jealousy. And the first crime that is committed here, again jealousy. So, Adam alayhi salam stories, two sons, Habil and Qabil, right? So it was just a couple that was sent from Jannah. Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they come in. But they had to start off the human progeny, human race that to start off. So what will happen, that children will be born in pairs, right? Male and female. So whoever was born, right, in that pair, they were counted to be like strangers to the next pair. So you are born in the first pregnancy, so you are a stranger to the one that is born in the next pregnancy, right? So, because you are a stranger, so you could intermarry now. One from here could marry here, one from this side they could marry this side. Now the human race had to carry on. Now how could the human race carry? From here you understand that in secondary matters, there can be changes, right? There can be some adjustments, secondary matters, right? Right? Like, namaz initially was 50 times. Then, adjustment to 5 times. See? So this is a secondary matter. Right? In principal matters, there's no adjustments. But in secondary things, from 50 to 5. So, in Adam alayhi salam's time, as though they could marry brother and sister. Then, that was, after that, Noah Islam's time now is changed. Come, you come back. Because that's enough now. Human population has now increased, developed thousands of people. So you can find enough boys, enough girls. Now you can't marry your sibling now. But one zamana, there was one rule, and now there's another zamana, there's another rule, see. So these changes can take place. Right. The change is not because, na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala didn't know, not because of that. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَعَطِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. The changes is for your convenience, for your expediency, your convenience, to your advantage, these changes come up. The first law was that if the enemy is 10 times your size, you must go for him. That was the first law. إِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ إِشْرُونَ صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا مِيَتَيْنِ. If you are 20, you will overpower 200. So it's a jumla khabriya, but it's insha, right? Jumla khabriya, but it is for insha. Even if you are 20, you must take on 10 your size. Okay. Then, خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِيمَ عَلَّمْ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا. Now the law has been relaxed. Now, if the enemy is twice your size, then you go for it. But if it's thrice, then you're excused. You can go, it's optional. But if it's twice your size, then it's compulsory for you to go for it. So you see, the secondary matters, there can be adjustments. Now the adjustments is not because, na'uzubillah, Allah Pak didn't know it. Allah Pak knows from the beginning till the end what's going to happen. But he brings about the adjustments, why? For your convenience, number one. Right. Number two is, he didn't make it known to you that this law is going to expire at this time. This law comes up, and this is the expiry date. He didn't. So you just continue, we will tell you about the expiry date. So he didn't tell you the expiry date. To your convenience and make it easy for you, carry on with this. We will let you know if there's going to be an expiry date or a cancellation or any adjustment, we'll let you know about it in time. See, like a mother, right? So the child is growing up. When the child is growing up, she'll buy a pair of shoes and a shirt, whatever else, right? But as the child is growing now she'll change the shoes. She'll change the clothing. She'll not tell him, see, you're going to wear these shoes here for 1 year, and after 1 year, I'll buy you another shoe. So, you wear these shoes here, right? There are multiple reasons. Mothers use this shirt here, use these shoes here. And when there's a need, she will take that old one, and she'll replace it. The doctor does the same thing also. He says, alright, you take this medication for 1 week. This whole dosage, you take it for 1 week, right? And after a week, you come back to me. So, the doctor knows more or less that if he takes this dosage, this cause, then in a week's time, this is how he will improve, right? If he's, for example, a pressure student, a pressure patient, this is how he's. If he's a sugar patient, and this is how his tabiat will relax. Right? He knows. Right? But he has to just give him this much and tell the patient, come back to me after 1 week. Right? He doesn't tell him, alright, what's going to happen. For several reasons, the doctor, his knowledge is restricted. He doesn't know the future. Right? Because perhaps sometimes someone's body reacts in a different way. And sometimes someone doesn't carry out the full diet, see. When he wasn't careful enough of the diet, so now he has to extend the medication, see. So the doctor's knowledge is limited. Because it's limited, therefore he will give this. But Allah is unlimited, he knows. But for your convenience, he doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you, but this is to come at this date, and from this date onwards it will stop. Right. By and large, Rasulullah Paksam's prescription, the Sharia, right, that is eternal. Right. After he's left the world, that's eternal, not subject to any type of abrogation, any cancellation. Right. Ustad Mustafa Rahmatali. This is when they were learning hadith in Darul Deoband under Sheikh al-Islam Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi. So they had a lot of love and respect. So after the lesson they would accompany him till he reached his home. And then en route, if there was anything to ask, they would ask also. So now he's accompanying the Ustad to the house, and he asked the Ustad, jizya is payable, right? That's a stipulation of Rasulullah SAW that jizya is going to be paid, tax. By who? The non-Muslim living in an Islamic country, he will pay a jizya, right? So, there again is a rating for the wealthy, for the average, and the poor. Right? The poor will give about 1 dirham, right? 1 dirham. For every month will give 1 dirham, right? And the average will give 2 dirhams. But monthly will give as a jizya. And the wealthy will give 4 dirhams. Right? So 1, 2, and 4. So this is the tax stipulation for a non-Muslim. There can be two situations. One situation is where the state already declares that this is what you're going to give. For example, you'll give 20% of your wealth. So both sides agreed, the government and the public agreed. So you'll give 20%. And if there was no stipulation, then this is for a poor, average, and upper class, right? Then, in this whole stipulation, there are about 3 people that are exempt. A woman will be exempt. She won't pay anything. A child won't pay anything. He's owning a lot of property, but he won't pay anything. An old person that can't work, he won't pay anything. Man that is sickly, invalid, he won't pay. So you see the relaxation. 4 classes of people are exempt. The old, the small, a woman, and the sick. So now, Rasulullah, his Sharia, his law, is not subject to any type of abrogation, any cancellation. It's permanent, it's there to remain. So Mustafa is asking his Ustad now, he's studying in Darul Deoband, that Isa alayhi salam will discontinue the jizya tax, you know? The stipulated tax will be discontinued. Whereas we are taught that the Sharia of the Sulay Baksasam is not subject to any type of cancellation. Right. So on the one side you say it's not subject to any cancellation. There's no cancellation. Riba is haram, so right through it. When you continue, is not subject to any type of not subject to any cancellation. Why is haram? So it's not subject to any cancellation, that now it's halal, you can't say. Haram, haram forever. No matter what dream you saw, a dream where you had kash, that dream and the kash will not make it halal. It's halal, it's haram, it's on khalas, permanent. So now Mustafa's question is now, that when Nabi Sallallahu Sharia is eternal, then how was it cancelled by Isa alayhi salam? But Isa alayhi salam, when he comes in, then he stop all these taxes, right? Stop it. This year he stop it. So if it is permanent, it's eternal, then why did he cancel it? So our Maulana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi has a unique way of answering. He said, kisne kaha? Who mentioned this? Hazrat, kal raat ko aapne sabak mein sunaya tha. You mentioned this in last night's sabr. As we were learning Bukhari Sharif, this is what you explained. So, as Madani Sabr, I was saying that a little bit firmly. Ye kisne kaha? Who mentioned this? So now I now understood it. That means Rasulullah was mentioned, but Isa alayhi salam will discontinue it. So the discontinuing is by Rasulullah. This man will just execute it, but commanded by Rasulullah. This is the expiry date. You see how in one sentence is given it. So what we are talking about is jealousy, right? And we talk about Adam and Islam, and he had to start off the whole human race. Okay. That is why the floods came in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, not in the time of Adam alayhi salam, not in the time of any Nabi between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam. It came in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. So why? Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhi wa Nabiya. So Madari Sabra's explanation is, see, the time from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh alayhi salam is about 1,000 some odd years, right? Now in this 1,000 years, all human structures had to be settled. Because now he's coming here, a new, brand new is coming, right? And man has to have some structures. So, like, the government has ordered, we want to see, say, 100 doctors every year, right? Became brand new. Brand new now, this country is brand new, and we want to see 100 doctors every year, right? Right? So, the professional people will say to the government, you must give us about a 20-year period for this to happen. Right? Why do they want a 20-year period? Because first, to educate and have a medical college, right, means we'll have to educate the youngsters from grade 1 to matric, right, for 13 years there. Then we'll have to admit them into medical school, right. Right. Then number 3, we'll have to have lecturers and professors to guide these upcoming doctors, right. Then, for that, we'll need to have medication also. Material medication. Then for the students and for the doctors or the tutors that are going to teach, then we'll need to have a university, a school, and we'll have to have a living quarter. So now, all these things takes time. Then we have to have literature, the right type of literature. So now, you see, so we need to have a 20-year period before you see the first batch of students coming out. You say, no, have it. You can't be, how you'll do it? Right. Say, so you don't do it by this date here, and then you'll be in problems. So they'll have to ask for time. Give us this 20-year period. In this 20-year period, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will, you will see the product. So, the same now, between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, man is brand new. The earth is brand new. Now there's so many systems that have to be structured, right? Because it's absolutely brand new. Now they'll need to have something to sustain themselves. There was nothing in this earth before that. So they have to have farms, greens, pot herbs, right? Fruit, brand new. Now, with that, when you eat, you get sick. So then you have to have medication. Right. Then they will come and stay on this earth here, and man is too weak, he can't stay in the wild. He needs to have homes, right? So we'll need to build homes, right? For that we need someone to educate us. what? To build. Right? We need someone to teach us, right? Farming. Then man cattle need to wear clothing. So how to manufacture the clothing and how to sew. And for all this then, you need now some type of businesses, right? Because one person can't do all the work. Someone will do farming, someone will be doing clothing, someone will be doing wholesaling. So we need all these things. Can you see now what a massive work? So for all these different structures to take on, Allah Ta'ala gave them the grace of 1,000 years. And in 1,000 years, get all these things out. Get all these things. Sort it out, get the structures, the commands, the do's and the don'ts. Because now if Allah Ta'ala just started the earth and gave the commands straight away, then you see, we're still settling still. We're still settling, give us some time, we'll settle and then we'll execute. So Allah Ta'ala gave them a grace of 1,000 years. Then they got the grace of 1,000 years, now Nuh Islam came in. Ya qawmi abudullah ma lakum min ilahin ghayr. Come, worship Allah Ta'ala. And he carried on advising them, exhorting them, inviting them. For 950 years. So they got a grace of 1,000 years. Then as he came in, from that point another 950 years. Now with the adamant, they saw the truth. They got no excuse. Everything that was required to sustain life, they have everything. To understand, analyze, see things in perspective, right? Consequences. To see all these things here, that enough time. Right? When they saw all this, and yet they remain adamant, now they, as though they are asking for problem. You saw these things. You learnt it, you saw it, you understood it in perspective, yet you chose to be adamant. So now what it means? That you are asking for trouble. You saw it. Then Labak released those floods. So it doesn't come straight away. It gives you a probation, a chance, right, for you to think, for you to understand, see things right. If you know again, Musa stayed there, right? And he kept on advising. For over 50 years, 40, 50 years, he advised those Coptics, right? But then, when they remained, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فُوَ وَجْنُودُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. They remained arrogant, defiant. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فُوَ وَجْنُودُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ. And they totally disregarded. See what I've been saying in the past also, that your deed is as weighty as your yaqeen in the life to come. If you are absolutely certain about that life, then your deed is also weighty. There's merit in your deed. There's life in your. But if that is not in your life, then there is no weight in your deed. So proportionate to how much you think about the hereafter, there's a thing like Jannat, I'm going to Jannat, right? Allah must guard me against Jahannam. There's a life after death, right? So that becomes a reality. If that becomes a reality, then your action also becomes real. If someone tells you about the importance of a passport, say one of those things now. You take it casual. And you don't have your paperwork done. What happens? But you take him seriously. Paperwork, documentation, passport, ID. Right? You take him serious then, the whole immigration happens very easily. That is, if you took the person seriously. But you didn't take him seriously, you just wrote some scrap paper and gave it to the immigration. They threw you out. Won't they do that? So, to the extent of your yaqeen, your conviction that there is a thing like yesterday I was seeing Aku's father in the dream. He is laid out there. The type of, the variety of food is laid out. I'm telling you, I'm going to call Mulyaku to eat also. Say, leave now. But the variety was just too great. What? I can't even remember the names. This food here, that food. Allah will give them good places. Right? Must feel happy for them. And to confirm that, read for them and send some things across. What do you say, Master Bhai? Read and send something across. Only worried about the separation. That means not happy for them to be enjoying. Right? You're worried about your problem. You're not happy about his plight. It's an excellent place, inshallah. Too good place, isn't it? Yeah. Surely be happy about it. Celebrate it. If you heard, right, your son is going to America, right? And you're worried about the separation. But then the news comes, your son has been posted to be the Prime Minister of America. He's there now, right? So, will that make you forget all the grief? Hey, my light here, he's gone to now. From where to where? What do you think of that? Don't you think that? Where he was here, and where he's gone to now? Hey, I'd like to meet up with him, man. I was cashing there with him. Don't you think of that? So, that's how we must think about our... InshaAllah, Allah make dua, and Allah makes it a reality. Right? You make the dua, have that umid, that hope in Allah Ta'ala. Nobody can say anything, right? But you have that hope, and do some things to support that. Right? And then Allah will make that a reality, then we join up. The only thing about the separations, leave it. Too sad story. Think now, where Allah, what is given. Right? So, same thing happened with Firaun. He said, Allah Pak says, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودِ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْلَ حَقْ. They have no reason. The Haq will say no reason. They have no reason to be proud. Right? No valid reason to be proud. And he went off there. وَظَنُّ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ. They felt that the life will carry on. There's no such a thing like hereafter. See where he went off. وَظَنُّ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ. This point where they didn't recognize the life to come. When they didn't recognize the life to come, so this is what happened. Yeah. But as you take cognizance of that life, then everything falls in place. If you don't take cognizance of that life, then everything goes off. So then what happened? See, Nuh alayhi salam, أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And here, Fir'aun and company, what happened? أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَثْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَحْرِ. Like a bunch of cockroaches, right? Flies. So, أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ, took all him, all his men, just dumped them in the ocean. فَانْزُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِ. See what was the end. So, his pride, arrogance, persistence upon wrong. What he did to them. أَخَذْنَاهُ, and how easy it is. أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. We just took him and all his forces, all his might and main, we just dumped him in the ocean. فَانْزُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ. So what we are talking of today was this jealousy. Yes. So Adam al-Islam and his two sons, right? So now, they have to get into a nikah. Right? So, they're born in pairs. So this pair can marry that pair, and that pair can marry this pair. Now, two sons, Habil and Qabil. So, Habil's wife is too beautiful, and Qabil's wife is ugly, right? So he is making a story about it, he's stressing about it. I must marry my sister. Now the haram, how can he marry? He wants to marry the girl that he was born with. So the haram, how can he do it?
Oh, but she's too pretty. Why is she not so pretty? Adam alayhi salam tried to admonish to Kodak. He won't listen. Why is your wife prettier than mine? And you only learn the story. You know, say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the prettiest of us all? Well, pretty will count in the hereafter. This is just a short video. The real beauty is there. That's the real beauty. That's the lasting beauty. Here, right, 15 years, 20 years of marital life then, she got 3-4 children, then she's already a nanny and all that. So the shape doesn't remain the same. So don't expect now after 15, 20 years that she must be exactly the same queen that you met her. With time and age, she will change. But you want her to be exactly the same. You'll be stressing, you'll make her sick, and you'll come sick. Still will change. But what will be permanent is the hereafter. So now he is stressing it out. Okay, why is your wife so beautiful? And my wife, why isn't she beautiful? So in that stressful mind, he says to his brother, "La'aqtulanna, I'm going to kill you." See, he's angry now. Adam alayhi salam, to stop the whole fight, he says, what you do? You'll offer an offering. In the name of Allah Ta'ala, make an offering. Both brothers got a dispute and can't come to any resolution, any solution. So what you do? You'll both offer an offering. So they did. He offered something, he offered something. He was a stock farmer, so he offered a nice, nice big fat ram, right? And he was he had some grains and all that, so whatever grains he offered. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. So Habil is accepted, and he was rejected. The way it was in that zaman was, that if the offering is accepted, a fire would come and consume it. So you would see now, Labak accepted it. So he is accepted and he is not accepted. So that now enraged him even further. One side the wife is more beautiful, and one side the offering also is. Everything is only working for him, not working for this one. So now he got enraged, he said, I'm going to kill you. Now in the face of this type of zulm, what are you supposed to be doing? Just now, before I could sleep, right, so there was an article, was that Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So when he was new in London, you know, so someone had a jinn problem, jinn, jadu, whatever. So he went to burn that thing. Now he says that time now in the 60s, you know, so you should communicate, right? And we receive a letter once in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Max, earliest in 2 weeks. Postal system was there. Right? But yeah, I went to do this thing here. And in about 3 days, the Sheikh's letter came in. 3 or 4 days came in. So somehow Allah Pak showed him. Said, Pyare, my beloved, don't ever do this. Don't destroy it. Jalane ka amal, so you want to burn that thing, don't do this thing. You may in some nice way chase it away, but don't do this. So anyway, this one is saying that I'm going to kill you. So what I'm saying now, how should you retaliate? لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيْ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِي يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ. You my brother, you want to assault me and kill me, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to retaliate. As a brother, I'll give you advice that يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The advice, brotherly advice I'm giving you is, you want acceptance, real acceptance is Allah's acceptance. But what is the criterion for the acceptance? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So the criterion is taqwa. You got taqwa, Allah will accept you. Whether you are poor, whether you are rich, whether you are handsome, whether you are ugly, whether you got wealth, you don't have wealth, whether your wife is pretty or not. But what is the benchmark of Allah Ta'ala? Taqwa. You got it, Allah will accept you. He's got it, Allah will accept you. So that's the benchmark. It's not how healthy you are, how good looking you are, how popular you are, how nicely you are dressed. Nothing counts. The thing that counts by Allah Ta'ala is taqwa. You got it, Allah will accept you. He's got it, Allah will accept him. Therefore, the greatest, one of the greatest alims of this ummah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that you have Abdullah ibn Mas'ud al-Yilam, he says, if I only knew that my two rakats of namaz is accepted, is better for me than the whole world and all that contains. Because if Allah Pak accepts it, then it can't be rejected. Then it's continuous. Once he accepts it, then it can't be rejected. I just must know, even if two rakats is accepted, you know, it's better for me than the entire world. So the whole criteria is acceptance. And the condition, the precondition for acceptance is taqwa. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ مِتَّقُونَ. See, are you basing it on beauty, wealth, etc., recognition? See, what are you basing it on? Recognition and beauty. So beauty and recognition is not the criteria. The criteria by Allah is innama, that innama comes to show restriction, is restricted, it's only for that. When you say innama, it means only to. The acceptance is only for those that got taqwa. If you talk of anything else, but acceptance in my presence is only for the taqwa, nothing else. So it's not your knowledge, not your looks, not your family, not your lineage, not your popularity, nothing. Then what? What is now the criterion for acceptance? Because we all work in that direction and we want Allah Pak to accept. Right? What are you working for? We're doing dini khidmat or anything else we're doing, but we want Allah Ta'ala to accept it. So then the best thing to capitalize on is taqwa. Because that's the stepping stone to acceptance. You can't get acceptance without that. Right? Can you get? The enjoyment on the tea, right, is how well it's brewed, right? It's how well it's brewed. And the brewing can only be on the stove, right? Now, you want the tea to be enjoyable, but bypass the stove. What is happening? Yeah. It must be brewed nice, right? So the only way you could do it is get it onto a stove. So that's the benchmark for the acceptance. You're not going to go through that process, and what happened? You want that ice cream, it has to go through a machine, right? Now, you don't go through the machine, you can't get the ice cream. Can you get it? So that's the benchmark, that's the precondition. So here the precondition, right? The benchmark for a child to be born is there must be a marriage. There must be an intimacy after marriage, right? Then, but now you're sitting in the masjid, and you want a child, what do you say? Yeah? It happened. Can it happen? Sitting here, making tasbih. Bacha, 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 bacha. Kya bacha hai? So what happened? The benchmark is get married and be intimate. Allah will give you a child. So the benchmark for the acceptance is taqwa. Innama yataqabbal. So clearly. Allah is laying it out, right? Say, if I get the taqwa, I'll accept you. But you want to try anything else, recognition, and people speak about me, and how beautiful I am, and see how I look, that doesn't count by Allah Ta'ala. What counts is, so how many of us are investing in taqwa? In the Islamic Madrasa, I will invest on the bricks, and so much of mashwara and all that, right? But how much on taqwa? What we need to invest is the taqwa. So whatever it takes for us to learn and perfect the lesson of taqwa, we have to do it. Whether it's in our action, in our intention, in our behavior, in our deeds, in all, whatever it takes,
to perfect the taqwa, then it's accepted. Then if it's a, the madrasa is a hut, or it's a palace, it's irrespective, because Allah accepted it already. So if you want to invest, then invest in this. Allah give me the tawfiq as well.